This is the iPhone LA Podcast, Episode 9, for June 14th, 2008. Welcome to the iPhone Alley Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone. For the latest iPhone news, tips, and reviews every day, check out iPhoneAlley.com. And joining me tonight, we have Mr. Bill Palmer from iProng Magazine. Hey, Bill.
You know, I'm not wearing a shirt right now, and I have no idea where to clip the mute button for my USB headset.
I have an idea.
I don't want to hear your idea.
Oh.
What's your idea, Jeff?
Is this a family show?
Yes. So we're going to skip it?
Yeah, maybe later.
Okay.
Suddenly everyone's glad this is an audio podcast and not video.
Right. And that voice you were hearing is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, it's great to be here, and I'm amazed I am.
Yes, you're on a PowerBook G4.
Yeah, I think QuickTime 7.5 totally screwed me.
I don't know what the deal is. I checked earlier today, and I do have 7.5 on my computer, and it worked last night for another podcast, and it seems to be working now, besides, you know, the smoke that's coming out of my computer, but it's all good.
All right, well, that gives me a little bit of hope.
Yes. And finally, from 2008, that's how you pronounce it, right?
That's correct.
Yep.
2008, we have the guys who brought you mobile chat for the iPhone, Saverio How do I say that?
Mondelli.
Saverio Mondelli and Sean Harrison. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
How you doing?
It's great having you on. We love having iPhone developers on the show.
This is our first podcast, so sorry if it doesn't go so smoothly.
This is the
it's your fault that this didn't work.
Thank you for 2008.
Okay, so usually we wait until the end to talk about the applications and all of that from the developers, but I think you guys may need to run earlier, so we're just going to do it at the top of the show. Like I said before, mobile chat is the application that these guys work on, and you guys have announced it publicly that you're releasing Mobile Chat 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Mobile Chat 3 is going to be absolutely.
Okay, we're having trouble hearing you, Saverio, so maybe, Sean, you should take over for telling us about Mobile Chat 3.
We're going to be releasing it through App Store.
Okay.
We haven't figured out if we're going to be charging for it or how we're handling that just yet. Everything is it's going to be filtered through our own servers, so no more disconnecting when you lose service. That's probably the biggest feature, I think, updated. And the whole thing's completely rewritten now. It's built on the SDK, an interface builder, and all that fun stuff.
Okay, and mobile chat, for those who don't know, it's the it's one of the jailbreak applications currently. It's AIM only, right? Or is it more than that? I can't remember.
I believe AIM is the only stable connection right now. The new version will support just about everything.
Excellent. Okay, and so you're not. Can you tell me about how? What sort of changes you have, and then talk about how you're doing the persistent connection.
The changes right now, it's really a whole new application. It's the server's going to be handled on our own servers. We have a whole setup with our own hosts, so that'll maintain the connections, and it's just going to be a push and pull between the application and our servers for the buddy sign-ons, the IMs, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so is it working with the service that Apple talked about on...
No, I don't think we have access to that yet, but it should be pretty easy to implement for us, just the way we're already doing it.
Okay, so you're doing it just about the same way right now, just with your own servers.
Yeah, right now the only way to be notified of a new IM if you're not don't have it open, it's just going to queue up until you open it again, which Apple has now fixed that, so that's going to be awesome.
Okay, so right now you're not going to get any notification of a new IM, like the badging that you will get in September, but still when you go back to the application, all of the messages that you missed while you had the application closed will be pushed down to you, right?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, and are there any, can you run down just like the feature list that, you know, new and old for mobile chat?
full conversations now. You'll be able to set your own custom away messages. Wouldn't be able to do that before. You could just go away with the I'm away from my iPhone right now. Multiple accounts will be connected at one time. No more just a single account. It's going to be the new YouTube-styled interface with the tab button on the bottom. I think just kind of like how AOL demoed theirs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were implementing that the night before. It was.
Oh, interesting. So now, you're developing the, obviously with the new SDK, and I remember AOL showed in their demo. I think it was March where you could swipe between multiple chats. Now, didn't you guys have that first?
Yeah, I think it still should work, but that will be in the new one again.
Excellent.
It'll work better than it did before because we have the SDK available to us now.
Yeah, I think that whenever I tried it, it would crash. Even if I accidentally swiped, it just kind of froze up and then, you know, died.
Yeah, I think you needed to be in the middle of a conversation with two conversations on the side for it to work the right way.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully it will be free or very close to free. We, you know, that was one of my really favorite applications on the phone, and it still is. I didn't really like Apollo that much. I knew a lot of people followed the other Instant Messenger client, but I thought yours was a lot better, and I really liked the icon that you guys had for it, and he had a lot of really good features. That and, you know, I use QuickShare It on my Mac.
Oh,
right,
do you?
Now. I do. I'm a huge QuickShare It advocate, and so thank you so much for the bandwidth for, you know, hosting all of those random files.
Yeah, still trying to figure out how to pay for that.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm wondering, you know, I'm just like sending you all this stuff that's just, you know, hot, you know, linked to whoever I want to. But for those who don't know, QuickShare It is a Mac-only application. Basically, it's just a little icon that sits in your dock. You drag whatever you want up to 100 megabytes, I believe, and it gets uploaded to the 2008 QuickShare It servers, and then you have a link to whatever you just uploaded, and you can share that with anybody, and it just downloads for you. So that's a really cool application too. It's not an iPhone app, but it's a Mac app, and it's really cool.
Yeah, we've been looking to find ways to add QuickShare to the iPhone, but so far we can't come with a great way yet. But we're working on it.
Yeah. So right now with the with mobile chat, are you? I don't know. I don't remember right now if you could actually click on links in mobile chat now. Will you be able to
you
do
cannot.
That? You can't now, but will you
no.
later?
Yeah, that should definitely work in the new one. I think we're just experimenting on two different ways, so you can do it through Safari or through just a kind of a panel in our app so you don't actually leave your connection.
Okay, cool. Now, what's your experience with the SDK? Is it really as easy as everybody seems to say
it
is?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I actually did develop a little bit with J2ME before, and it was a nightmare. I hated it. But the SDK has just been phenomenal.
Excellent. And are you you're a Mac developer, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's very similar. I mean, obviously, you're developing in Xcode. And
yep.
You're right now, you're actually in Apple's developer program, and you're able to put your app on the test iPhones right now, or have you been accepted?
It's actually a lot harder than people make it seem. I still have a lot of trouble getting it onto my phone after every upgrade.
They change
stuff constantly.
Yeah, I heard that there was a problem with it with this last version that they seeded out, that some people weren't able to get their apps.
Yeah, they changed something they had originally changed in SDK 6. They changed it back, and it's tough to keep up.
Yeah, well, hopefully they, I guess it's still beta, right?
Yeah, that's what they get to stand behind and say it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about it. I think that, you know, even if Apple didn't release an iPhone 3G on Monday, I think that, you know, with the App Store and all of these different applications, I think it's just by itself is iPhone 2.0. It's a whole new experience. It's an actual platform now. So
definitely.
It's great.
Me and Sean do an extensive amount of mobile development, you know, privately, for, you know, many other phones. And, you know, when the iPhone came along, it was just like a godsend. It's unbelievable. The things we were able to do with the iPhone so easily that you can't do with other phones. I mean, I don't want to say that we can't have mobile chat on, you know, a Nokia phone, but it really is easy to do it on the iPhone, and the user experience is, you know, 100 times better It's just Apple really went out of their way, and it's really cool to see so many people bringing, you know, amazing applications to the iPhone now.
That's great.
Just to clarify this, we have absolutely no plans to put this on any other phone but the iPhone.
Yeah, we're all iPhone from now on.
Yeah, I can imagine porting your app from, you know, Xcode to, you know, something really insufficient would be a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had tried developing Visual Basic before I made the switch to Mac, and it's incredible switching and using Xcode. They made everything so easy.
Excellent. Okay, well, unless you guys have anything else to, you said it's going to be, right when the, App Store launches, correct?
Yeah, that's what we're planning for.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's tentative on when Apple, I don't want to go ahead in the show, but it's based on when Apple releases App Store, if we're going to be able to. We'll definitely be good for July 11th when the 3G iPhone comes out.
Gotcha. Good to know. Hopefully we'll get the old iPhone buyers, the original buyers, are going to get a privileged access to the new 2.0 software before the new guys with the 3G iPhones get it. But we're
just to touch on what you were saying before about the mobile chat pricing. Actually, the reason we need to get out of here off this call very shortly is because we're going into the city. We have a couple meetings lined up tonight, which kind of affect the pricing structure that we're going at. So that'll decide that, you know, eventually. But we have some things in mind to keep everybody, you know, on an even playing field and kind of make everybody happy. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, hopefully we'll get a review copy when it comes out. And that brings me to something we were talking about. I think Jeff brought it up on the last podcast, that how are developers going to, I mean, there's no other way to develop or to distribute, rather, applications outside of the App Store. Is Apple going to provide some way for apps to be given away, or, you know, something like that? If someone, because I know, like with music right now, you can gift a song or something like that, or you can redeem a coupon, you know, on your iPhone through the iTunes Store on the iPhone. Do you know if Apple's planning to do anything like that?
I mean, I have no specific idea, but I would guess that anything that Apple is doing with iTunes, they are planning to, you know, port over to the App Store type stuff. You know, then I remember mentioning Steve Jobs mentioning one of the maybe March keynote talking about that you could do free applications, you know, and distribute via App Store for free if you, you know, you wanted to charge for free. So
yeah,
I think they definitely have that in mind.
I'm just thinking for the companies who do have, you know, for charge applications, there are going to be a lot of different.
Yeah, I mean, they released a few screenshots, I don't think intentionally, this past week, and they showed it was pretty much the same interface as iTunes is now.
Right, yeah.
And you could buy through iTunes Music Store on the computer, I think they were kind of hinting at. So
right.
I would imagine it's the same, going to be the same deal.
Yeah, that was one of the announcements in March, that it will be coming through iTunes or on the iPhone. And you can, you know, cross, or what? How did he call it? Sideload, I believe. You can sideload applications from iTunes. So
yeah.
Maybe that'll be exactly how you do it. You can just say, gift this application, and there you go. So I can see
that
working.
Yeah, which is, you know, I would think that most people will load applications like that when they're sitting at their computer. I mean, it's great to have, you know, the over-the-air support, but I don't think many people are sitting in the Starbucks, you know, and need a to-do list, and they're going to go download a to-do list. But, you know, that's just me. But it's great to have either way.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that, you know, before installer.app, there was, I mean, you really just had to SSH your applications onto the phone. And, you know, I never thought that installer would catch on as quick as it did. But I think that, you know, that was a good opportunity for Apple to learn that, you know, people really do enjoy exploring the new applications and downloading them on the spot, you know, right from their phone. They don't. I think they realize that people don't like to be tethered to their computers as much, especially with a phone where, you know, its nature is inherently mobile. So
yeah. I think maybe with the new 3G faster speeds, you know, people won't mind the. I mean, installing that app was great, and it still is a great tool for the iPhone users who use it, but it's just, you know, it's painfully slow to load that. You know, I don't think it's usable sometimes over Edge, so hopefully 3G solves all that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about apps. Let's just move on to some general news. There were a couple different announcements over this past week from various developers who didn't actually get up on stage. And I noticed this I think it was the day that we were doing the podcast, that I noticed there were some screenshots of Twitterific on the App Store for the iPhone that Apple posted. And so Dave was quick to point out that, you know, they had already been in talks about Twitterific on the iPhone, but now they have officially announced Twitterific on the iPhone. And so that's, you know, for the desktop right now on the Mac, Twitterific is the one of many Twitter apps for, you know, tweeting to Twitter. So it's one of my favorites, so I'm really excited to see that coming. We're not sure if it's going to be free or not, like Apple puts on the screenshots, but that'll be pretty interesting. But another cool thing is Quick. Quick is coming to the iPhone. Jeff, have you seen this?
I have not seen Quick yet.
Do you know what Quick is about?
Tell me.
I will tell you.
Enlighten me.
I will enlighten everybody. Quick, and I think Daniel already dropped off, Daniel Brusilovsky, but he's another Quick person. Basically, Quick is a service. It's a company and an application that allows you to stream live from your cell phone. So, you know, you have all these cell phones out there that can record video and have 3G data, like the I think the big phone was the Nokia N95 that they were doing this on. Basically, you just bring up this application, you hit go, and it starts streaming live over the web immediately right from your phone. And I believe that his name escapes me right now. The guy who used to work at Microsoft. I completely forgot.
Scoble.
There we go. Scoble used this many times at Macworld and all these different events, and just kind of ran up to somebody and said, "Hey, you know, you're live on the internet right now. Tell me what you think." And that's the kind of cool thing that you can do with Quick. And not only is it just simply streaming, but you actually get live interaction from the users who are watching the stream, because, you know, they can type in this little chat box and you'll actually get that that chat interaction right on your phone, so you can see what's happening while you're streaming. So it's a really cool application, and it's one of these things that everybody was looking for to see to come to the iPhone, because it's just such a cool thing to be able to just whip out the phone and say go and start streaming. Another thing that it'll also do is actually tweet from your Twitter account whenever you're streaming live. And I know that, like I said, Scoble does it. Daniel Brusilovsky from the Apple Universe podcast, and Justine Azarek, also known as iJustine, they all use this amazing service. So I think that's going to be really fun, especially for these, you know, big events in San Francisco and all around, to use Quick. So that's what Quick is all about. What do you think about it, Jeff?
I'm thinking I need this so I can use it at Macworld Expo.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that a lot of people tried streaming the keynote from Quick. I don't think it worked too well, but you would probably do it for, you know, ad hoc or on the spot impromptu interviews, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
That would be just a killer thing to have on my iPhone.
Yeah. So, Bill, what do you think of this?
I'm just excited to see all these hacker apps come out as legitimate mainstream apps now, because none of these things combined ever made me motivated to want to hack my phone just to use them. But now that they're $5, $10, $20 away and click of a button, now I get to be excited about them. So the more I see coming out, the better.
Yeah, definitely. And there have been a lot of Twitter applications on the, you know, on the phone as far as jailbreak apps. And we actually had Nicholas Pike on for one of these developer interviews, you know, talking about his Twitter application. So, you know, having Twitter and Quick and all these different applications that were, you know, like you said, hack applications, it's really great. And it's really, I think we're going to see this as a whole new start to a whole new platform. I think, like what Apple says, they have, you know, the iPod, the Mac, and the iPhone, and especially having two platforms, the iPhone and the Mac, I think that's absolutely true. I think it's just going to be a whole new thing for Apple.
And so, I got to say that Twitter is the one area where I really feel like I've kind of been missing out, because even the well-done Twitter web apps didn't work for me. I'm still on m.twitter.com, which is kind of a joke on the iPhone.
Yeah,
and so now it's like all these apps that you guys have been bragging about, now I get them too. It's like, yeah, cool, score one for the non-hacker guy.
Yeah, definitely. There was another Twitter application. I think it's called a web application, rather. It's Pocket Tweets. Have you ever tried that one out?
Yeah, I've tried Pocket Tweets, iTweet, just a bunch of them. And look, some of them I thought are really well done, and I kind of thought, well, I hope these people will turn these web apps into sort of like real apps when that comes, and now it's come. So I'm not sure what the story is with some of the rest of them I named. But yeah, none of them, it was just like, if I've got to do it on a website, I might as well just do it on something simple, you know. So I've just stuck with m.twitter, even though I really, really don't like it. But it's just kind of lowest common denominator until the real stuff comes.
I like to stick with really pretty applications that are extremely complicated, and you can see that by but yeah, that's why I used Pocket Tweets, and that's why my site is just so graphics intensive. I like shiny things. That's just what I like.
So, ooh, sparkledy.
Exactly. Sean, what do you think of the about Quick on the iPhone? Have you seen Quick?
Yeah, I've seen Quick used on the N95, and I thought it was phenomenal. It's kind of upset I couldn't use it on my iPhone. And I think it's phenomenal that they're bringing it over to the iPhone.
Yeah, definitely.
I think somebody else beat them to the punch, though, the night before they announced it. I don't know the name of the company offhand.
Yeah, there was another application. I'm just going to look through here in my list real quick to try and figure out what that other application was. New TV. I think it's Flixwagon. Is that the one you were thinking about?
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, that was another application. I don't know if that's if that was over Wi-Fi or if it's over 3G as well. But that's another application that also has live streaming from the iPhone. I haven't really used that one, but I do know that a lot of people rave about Quick. And so, we're just going to see so many cool applications coming for the iPhone because, like you said, it's so easy to develop for, and we're going to see a lot of these great ideas because, some of the most creative minds don't want to, have to deal with really poorly thought out development platforms. So I think we're going to see a lot of really good stuff and a lot of really beautiful stuff, too. That's what I'm looking forward to as well because it's Mac OS. Or I think they're calling it iPhone OS 10 now. It's OS 10 iPhone.
OS 10 iPhone and OS 10 Leopard.
Yep. I think that's pretty cool that they dropped the Mac from it.
If you buy the white iPhone, though, do you have to use Snow Leopard? Is that...
Yes, actually, I do remember seeing the press release for that.
Yeah. Do you guys... what do you think about the white iPhone, Bill?
I haven't seen it in person, and I've got to see them. I actually like when the first time I had a choice between white and black, I think was with the original Nano, first time they'd done a black one. I didn't know until I walked into the store which one I was going to buy, and I just stared at them, and I went one way. I think I went with the white, and then when the video came out, I went in the same black and white colors, and I stared at them, and I went with the black. So I think it may actually be until I actually walk into the store on July 11th and see them. I may not know until then. I know I'm buying 16 gig for sure, but I don't. Yeah. I have no idea.
I'm with you on that one. Honestly, I've always been one of those guys, and I think I talked about it on the other show, but one of those guys who really, really likes the original white because that's what the iPod was white, and whenever I thought of what an Apple phone would be, I figured it would be a white something, whatever the iPhone was. So I was kind of disappointed when I didn't see a white one. So, but, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it until I actually hold it in my hands because, Apple just can't photograph their own products. And I don't think I don't think it's a problem with their process or with the photographers that they use. I just think that in some cases, these products don't photograph well. And that's why everybody was saying, the Fat Nano didn't look good. And I just can't tell for the white iPhone until I see it myself. But I kind of want a white iPhone. So that's that. And I want to talk about the iPhone 3G. And, it's been a week since it's been introduced, and I'm not very happy with it. So I'm going to rant a little bit about the iPhone 3G real quick. And my first little bugaboo I have with the iPhone 3G is that they're doing the same thing again, like they did, they had the iPhone, the third generation, I should say iPod, third generation iPod, and it had, I think there was a remote in there, a wired remote, a hard case, and a dock, and a power brick in there. It was a huge box, but it just had everything that you could possibly want for it. And now Apple, you know, in the fourth generation iPod, I think they got rid of all of that stuff, including the power brick. Am I mistaken, Bill? Did they get rid of the power brick as well with the fourth generation?
Yeah, power brick disappeared from all iPods for the fourth generation. I was surprised that the original iPhone actually did come with a power brick.
Well,
it had been so long since they had included one.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so they're not including a dock now with the iPhone 3G. And I thought that was, you know, that was just one of those really, really cool things that Apple was doing, you know, with the third generation iPod and then with the iPhone. You don't have a lot of phones that just have a little dock that, you know, stands it up straight, and you can, it's really easy. You don't have to find a cord and plug it in. You just sit it down in the dock. Now it's not being included. I think it's $50 for a dock now.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's terrible, and you can't even fit your new iPhone 3G in your old iPhone dock because it's a little fatter on the back. You know, it's a little rounded. So
and it's thinner on the sides. So
yeah, it's thinner on the sides, but it's still, you know, rounded toward the back. I think it's a little fatter on the back.
Yeah, they posted pictures of the new one. They show it's kind of completely different shape of the dock and the way to use it.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate that. So that's,
I have three docks now, but I have nothing to do with them.
Right, and I have, you know, I have to buy the universal dock. Was, you know, that is a little bit useful because it has, you know, the remote and, you know, these, you can plug, you know, whatever iPod into it you want to, but still, you know, I don't like that. I feel like they're pulling the rug out from underneath us. And the next thing, as someone was pointing out before the show, it doesn't have MMS again. I think everybody thought that we were going to get MMS. Jeff, what do you think about MMS on the iPhone?
I was really hoping it would be there. Now, that's not a feature that I use hardly ever. And actually, yeah, pretty much never. But that's not the point. The point is there's a lot of people that really do use that. And that's a feature that I'm really surprised isn't there. I mean, you can pick up a free crap phone from Nokia or Motorola or Samsung, whoever, and it's MMS is there. I just don't get why that's not on the iPhone.
Yeah, I actually had someone send me an email. It was a link to a big essay that they wrote to Steve Jobs, basically saying, you know, how great the iPhone is and how much they love it. And, you know, when they're showing it off to friends, they say, oh, well, you know, just take this picture and then text it off to this person. They say, well, you know, you can't. And I think that's a really stupid thing to do. And I know that Steve Jobs, you know, just thinks that it's not a good idea for whatever reason that Steve Jobs doesn't like MMS. But it's a standard thing. Like you said, you can pick up any crap phone and do it. So, you know, that's another thing. And the next thing is the data plans. You know, not everybody has 3G in their area. We don't have 3G where I am. Thankfully, it's coming next month, so I'm not going to be completely upset when I have to buy that 3G data plan, but you're forced to buy a 3G data plan with the iPhone 3G, regardless of if you have, you know, 3G service or not. Or am I mistaken about that? Jeff, do you know? Or,
you know, I've been hearing so many things, and I don't have confirmation from AT&T on how this is going to work. If they're expecting everyone to pay for a 3G plan, even if they don't have 3G, that doesn't sound cool. On the other hand, I do know that that the data plan that's available right now with the original iPhone is a discounted price. So the $30 plan, from what I understand, is what the rest of the AT&T world pays anyhow.
That's what I've heard too.
Yeah. So in that respect, you know, bumping the iPhone users up to the standard plan pricing structure, well, I can see doing that, but it still leaves kind of bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Okay, so you have to pay, you're forced to pay the 3G. It's an extra $10 to pay the 3G data plan, regardless of if you have 3G or not. But you're also losing that extremely useful feature of you get 200 messages included in your plan, SMS, for free. They're not doing that now.
Yeah, here's my big rant about the whole thing. AT&T is taking what, with iPhone version 1, was a very seamless and painless process, and turning it into the exact damn thing that you have to deal with for every cell phone in the world, which is you have to go in the store, you have to wait in line, they have to draw blood, they take your kidney. You know, they go through all this stuff, and then they come up with a reason why the plan you want won't work, and now you have to do the back and forth thing. And then once you figure that out, then it's, well, which components do you want? And now you're going to have to go through the whole same thing with, well, this minute plan, these messages, I don't know. It was so much easier when you'd go in the store, buy your iPhone, plug it into your computer, and say, these are the number of minutes I want. And then that was it.
That was just so amazingly simple. I just, I felt that it was a complete step in the right direction. And like, you know, all the other phones are trying to go the way of the iPhone with easier interfaces and, well, not maybe that, but they're trying to copy the iPhone. I figured, okay, well, this is something that we're going to see more of, because it never made sense that you would have to stand in the store and fill out paperwork and do all of that when you could just simply go home and activate it. It just sucks. It feels really bad. It feels like Apple just sort of gave AT&T a whole lot of, abilities to change all these different things now that they're supposedly subsidizing the phone. You know, I can understand that they're trying to cover their butts with, not allowing these purely subsidized phones out of the store without the assurance that they're going to be, on their network. But they don't even offer an unsubsidized iPhone, or they won't be offering an unsubsidized version.
I've actually been so busy trying to follow so many things. Maybe I've missed this, but I have not seen anywhere where anyone has showed actual proof that the iPhone is being sold subsidized at $199 and $299. Just that's the price that it is. So I'm not sure if it really is being subsidized or if that's just what it costs. And subsidizing is what you're seeing when it drops down to like free through O2 and things like that.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think we're seeing some really, really fantastic plans coming from other carriers, but we're not seeing it, with AT&T. They're doing their same old thing again. It sucks. And it's almost, if I was a consumer, who wasn't covering the news as far as, iPhones and whatnot, I would really reconsider getting the iPhone 3G, because we're getting, most of the new features. As far as the software goes, we're getting almost all of it. The only thing we're really not getting is the faster data speeds and the GPS.
You mean to say that you think they would think twice about upgrading, or that people who are on a Razr or something would think twice about buying an iPhone at all?
I think people who are currently on the iPhone, the first generation iPhone, I think they may think twice about getting the iPhone 3G. Now, unfortunately, I think a lot of people have already sold their first generation iPhones in anticipation of it. And I think they've made a good amount of money on that when they do go get their new iPhone 3G. But I think some people may be thinking, well, it just seems like I'm getting a little, bit of a crap deal here. It's not terrible. I mean, once you activate the phone, I mean, the lines are going to be horrible. Let's just face it. But once you activate the phone and you get it, that's going to be most of the problems right there, aside from the fact that I think it's going to be maybe $150 more over the course of 2 years to own the iPhone 3G than it was for the first generation iPhone at the first generation iPhone's price. And that's because you have to have the $10 more for data, and you have to, I think if you want SMSs, it's $5 more to get the 200 SMSs, which was fantastic. I mean, right now, it seems kind of stupid, because Apple usually, what they did with the iPhone was they said, here are all these features on the iPhone, and yes, they will all work. You don't have to worry about, hopping on Safari while you're, out in the car and being concerned about data costs or, sending a text message or something like that. Now you're in that boat again, with all these other people who have, cell phones from AT&T and the other carriers. It's just, it really sucks. So I think that's, unless you guys have anything else to mention about that, that's my rant about the iPhone 3G.
I would just say that.
Okay, everybody has something to say.
The data stuff was, I think, exclusive to the U.S. It was much different overseas.
Yeah.
There was definitely some limits.
But there are some, there are a lot better deals over, O2, for example, has a really sweet deal as far as data and talk plans go. And they're also subsidizing it to the point where if you get the insane plan, you get a free iPhone 3G. So I think that it's a lot better overseas, and I think it always has been a little better overseas as far as the plans go. And I think a lot of people were complaining about the first generation iPhone overseas, that the plans were so expensive. So who else wants to chime in on the iPhone 3G rant?
I just wanted to say, and maybe I'm just holding out some naive hope here, but I just have a feeling that when this finally does roll out 4 weeks from now, that it won't be anywhere as nightmarish as we seem to think it is right now. It seems like in this relationship, AT&T does hold a few strings, but Apple has always worn the pants. And I think the one who's doing the talking is usually not the one who's doing the deciding. It seems like AT&T is putting a lot of crazy crap out there publicly just to see what'll float and what they might be able to get away with, while Apple's just sitting there quietly saying, no, go ahead and put that stuff out there, and when you get laughed at. And I still wonder if the 4 week delay may be mainly because Apple and AT&T have to, get in a bar brawl and fight it out over AT&T wants to do it stupidly and Apple wants to do it smartly, and Apple's saying, look, AT&T, we're going to lose a bunch of money if we do it your stupid way just based on fewer sales. And I'm holding out hope that Apple is still wearing the pants and they're not going to let it roll out as stupidly as we all fear they might.
Gotcha. Okay.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I should say that none of this, at least most of it, is not official. They haven't really done any press releases as far as plans and the activation and store stuff has gone, but I have contacted Mark Siegel over at AT&T, and he tells me, at least as far as I know, and I think I mentioned that grandfathering would be allowed on the last podcast. I asked him about that. People who have iPhone contracts right now and plans with them, they will not be grandfathered in with the same price that they're paying right now and the same services. They will have to re-sign a new contract with a new data plan, so there won't be any grandfathering. And according to him, the setup will be in store. So those are two things that we're almost positive about. AT&T and Apple may still be in negotiations about this. So we're just going to have to see on, whenever they decide to make the plans public. But I'm hoping that it turns out a lot better than it seems.
Yeah, so if that's the case, no grandfathering, then what that means is if you have a first-generation iPhone, once your contract is up, there's no point in keeping it because you're going to have to pay the higher price for the new contract anyhow. So you might as well have a iPhone 3G to go along with it.
So you're saying that once your contract on your first generation runs out, you're going to have to pay a higher price anyway?
That's what it sounds like.
You would still keep that same service if you haven't changed your phone or anything, because they're not subsidizing that phone, or at least we're thinking that's the reasoning behind some of this.
Right. But what it comes down to is we don't have official word on exactly what all of this is going to cost.
Right.
So until we know, we'll just sit here and get all pissed off thinking about how bad it's going to be. And hopefully Bill's right, and it's going to turn out to be much better than what we're building ourselves up for.
That's
what
I'm hoping for.
Which means it'll be a pleasant surprise instead of a disappointment.
Definitely. And I think that Sean has to get going soon. So, Sean, did you have an iPhone pick for us?
No, I did not. I didn't get that list until about 10 minutes before.
Ah, okay. Sean Harrison from 2008 and Saverio Mondelli. Both from 2008. Saverio had to take off a little bit earlier. He lost his connection. But, look at what they're doing at 2008.com. That is TWENTY08.com. And, watch the progress of mobile chat and, take a look at QuickShare if you're on a Mac. So it's a really cool thing. So thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us. Hopefully Apple gives us a way to let you guys review it before it comes out.
That would be fantastic.
As of right now, our hands are tied. We can't even do beta testing.
You can't even send it over so I can test it in my iPhone simulator. Or does the iPhone... Yeah, the iPhone simulator does network access. So.
That's actually a possibility. I can check that out for you and let you know.
Cool. Well, that would be awesome. So thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. See you later. Okay, let's move on. I just, well, before we move on, actually, I should mention that we have a full sort of FAQ sort of article posted on the site right now, with all these different facts and, you know, if I'm in this situation, what do I do? And, you know, what kind of plans is AT&T rumored to be offering, all that stuff. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Otherwise, if you go to the site, we have those two little image boxes at the top that fade back and forth. If you, I think it's in the one on the left, it says important information for iPhone 3G owners. So just click that link there and it'll get you a whole big list of things to get pissed off about. So. So there you go.
I don't know why I found that funny, but there you go.
Oh, it is funny. And I should mention, since we're talking about, you know, this sort of stuff, and people who have possibly sold their first generation iPhone, did you guys hear about this mugging in Brooklyn?
Oh,
I believe
right.
It is. What it was is it's been this thing for a couple months now that a Brooklyn gang has been posting something on Craigslist saying that, you know, we have a crate of 20 iPhones being sold for $2,000, and the idea here is to lure these people into meeting in this random spot that the gang is comfortable with, and holding them at gunpoint and saying, you know, give me all the money that you have. It's a clever trick, but it's pretty terrible. And I think that, you know, for those of you who are planning to go and get a first generation iPhone because you are all hot and bothered about the iPhone 3G, be careful about who you're dealing with. I would say, go with eBay, or if it's something over Craigslist, definitely have them ship it to you. But you know,
my favorite part of that article, and of course it's horrible that people are doing stuff like this to each other, but my favorite part was the older guy that scared away the thugs by honking his horn.
Right.
It's a horn. Run away. Ah.
See, what gets me is you're looking on Craigslist, and I've found everything from my apartment to my television on Craigslist. You can use it for legitimate things, but you can't be so dumb as to say they're selling with 10 crates of iPhones. How
meet in this dark alley.
Yeah, right. You know you're buying stolen property, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Apple doesn't sell iPhones by the crates. You know you're buying. Who are you buying it from? Steve Jobs is not selling you stolen iPhones at the back of a van. I'm not saying you deserve to get mugged or whatever. You deserve some kind of award for naivety, though, or something, because you know you're trying to buy stolen property, and what do you expect to get when you do that?
Yeah. Well, in a related story, and one of the guys in our forum pointed this out to me, the current generation iPhones are being sold for really nice prices still on eBay. So if you haven't sold your first generation iPhone and you're not all hot and bothered about the iPhone 3G and you really want to get an iPhone 3G, you can still sell it on eBay for the 8 gigabytes are going for as much as $350, and I've seen upwards of $350, and 16 gigabytes are going for $550 and up. And I think the 4 gig iPhones are going for like $300. And, we really thought that the value of the current generation iPhone would just, plummet as soon as the iPhone 3G comes out, especially now that we hear that the price is $200. Why do you think this is? You want to chime in on this unlocking?
I think that's it. I think that has a lot to do with it. People see the first gen iPhone as an easy device to unlock, and they know that the second gen iPhone, the iPhone 3G, is going to be far more difficult and a lot more expensive to unlock because you have to sign up for a contract to get out the door with one.
Yeah, and then you'd have to, the only way to get out of it and keep your phone is to pay the early termination fee.
Right.
Which is like $200 in itself, right? Or about $200?
I think that's about right.
Yeah, I think it's maybe $175 or something like that. But yeah, I guess at that point you are paying full price for the phone, as you would previously with the first generation iPhone. But yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, when they do figure out how to unlock the iPhone, it's going to take a while for them to do that because there are going to be a lot less, phones out in the wild that people can experiment with. Because of you know, the fact that you have to sign a new contract, that, and like you said, you're going to have to, you have to sign a contract to get it out the door. And I think that's, you know, one of the goals that AT&T, you know, was trying to, they were trying to solve that problem as far as having phones leaving and being unlocked. So, you know, if you haven't sold your iPhone yet and you're looking for an to get the iPhone 3G, you can make money and still buy an iPhone 3G. Simply by unlocking your iPhone and putting it on eBay. They're still selling well. I can't say that they're going to sell well for a long time, but I would definitely sell it soon. I wouldn't wait up until July 11th or past that or anything like that. But certainly right now, it's a seller's market, definitely.
It sure looks like it.
I have a whole different take on that. I'm sure that the hacking, unlocking contract stuff does play some factor, but I would suspect most of those sales are just the fact that if you walk into a store right now and you say, I want to buy an iPhone, whether it's for yourself or especially if someone who has a birthday this month or Father's Day or high school graduation, and Apple says to you, you have to wait 4 weeks, we don't have any, of course you're going to go home and buy it on eBay. There's nowhere else you can get one. And I think people are going to pay crazy prices, especially if they've got to give it to their high school graduating teenager who's just got to have one right now. And, you know, you can't give a graduation gift 3 weeks later or whatever. I really think those prices are going to plummet to almost zero the minute the real iPhone goes on sale. I'm kind of staring at mine and thinking, yeah, I bet I won't get $80 or $100 for that once they go. I could be totally wrong, though. I guess we'll know. We'll see the prices after July 11th. We'll know whether it was the unlockers or just the average customers who are driving those prices up right now.
It's interesting, definitely. So have you guys seen this? Steve is, I think this happens every year where, there's Macworld and Steve looks great. And then there's WWDC and Steve doesn't look too good. And this was a big subject. I think it was Tuesday. The Apple's stock supposedly just, you know, went way down. Because
it went down a lot.
It went down like $5 or something like that. When everybody was concerned about Steve's health, because they saw the keynote afterward on video and in HD, actually. HD is all revealing. So, but you know, everybody's saying that Steve doesn't look healthy. What are your guys' takes on that?
Well, based on the information that Apple gave out about Steve specifically, assuming we take it at face value and say, okay, Apple's not lying.
Right.
He had like some kind of bug or virus and really wanted to make sure that he did the keynote presentation.
Right, yeah.
So he was a little bit sick.
Yeah, so that's what Apple came out and said publicly, is that he had a bug and he's taking antibiotics and he just wanted to He wanted to do the keynote, obviously, because, you know, Steve is the man who does. I mean, it's named after him. It's the Steve note, of course. So he has to do it.
Right. And, you know, it would have looked worse had he not done the keynote.
Absolutely.
I think Apple's stock would have just totally tanked before the keynote was even over if he wasn't there doing it.
Yeah. And I think that the only time Steve didn't attend a massive keynote was in Paris in, like, what was it, 2005 or something like that, when Schiller went over to Paris and did the keynote for them. And that was back – but it may have been earlier than that. When did Steve have cancer?
It's been a couple of years ago now, so maybe it was 2005.
May have been 2005. But the idea is that Steve had cancer, pancreatic cancer. It was really a rare form of pancreatic cancer that was treatable, and he did catch it before, during the time that it was treatable, and so he's cancer-free. So that was the big concern, is obviously because he had cancer in the past, we're always, you know, concerned about that. But, you know, my take on it, when everybody was asking me, what do you think about this? And I thought, well, you know, right after Macworld, or at Macworld, I should say, this is, right after the Christmas holiday. And, you know, everybody says, well, you know, it's not winter over there. He's in California, yada, yada. But, you know, there are still a lot of, you know, festive parties and, you know, lots of eating and family and all of that. I think he may have put on a little weight then and, maybe sat around the house a little more. And he had a beard, you know.
So, Michael, are you saying that Steve Jobs bulks up for winter?
I think he bulks up for winter.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to spend the whole winter, you know, in your little Cupertino cave hibernating and all, sure, you're going to have to bulk up some.
Yeah. And, well, you know, in over the summer especially, it gets really active. And I'm sure Steve still goes out and, you know, hang glides and, you know, other crazy rock climbing. And you know, I don't think Steve actually does that, but I think it'd be interesting if he did. But I still think that he's, you know, really active over the summer, and he didn't have a beard, and of course he's sick. So even without him being sick and having this bug, I didn't see a big problem. I think we had the same exact scare last year, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because he was...
he looked kind of sick at WWDC.
I think he always looks a little skinnier at WWDC just because it's summer. That's just what I'm going to go with. That and the fact that, you know, he shared the keynote with a couple other guys. And I think that's part... Do you think the reason he shares the keynote with other guys is because he's trying to get everybody else, you know, he's trying to find a successor to himself? Or do you think he just wants to get the people who are closer to the project involved in the keynote?
You know, I think at WWDC, it's about getting the product managers, the people that are really deep into each of these products, up on the stage.
Yeah.
And at Macworld Expo, it's all about doing the big commercial.
Yeah.
And so for something like that, yeah, you have Steve do the whole thing. He has a guest come on and do a quick little blurb, but it's the Steve show. WWDC has historically been for developers, and it's only been in the last couple of years when the keynote has been something that we could even get access to.
Right.
So, you know, they've kind of changed that a little bit so that it's more of a media-focused event, but it's still for the developers. And in that kind of a venue, you want to have the people that really know the products up there talking to the developers.
Right. I think that's it right there. So, so Steve's good. I just figured that'd be a good one to throw out there. Do we have any firmware 2.0 launch predictions? I think we've seen a couple different things. One of the stories was that it would be launched on June 27th for those people who already have iPhones. And there were also, you know, we also thought at some point that it would possibly, I mean, it would make sense to be July 11th because that's when the iPhone 2.0 comes out. And you wouldn't think that the iPhone 3G would have the 2.0 software before the standard iPhone did. So what do you guys think? The June 27th date came from an image on Apple's, I think it was the Australian Apple website, and it was quickly pulled down, but it said, you know, shop for hundreds of applications made for iPod Touch available June 27th. So what are your takes on this?
Are we saying that the App Store might launch 2 weeks before you can buy a 3G iPhone? Is that the theory here?
Yeah. So it would be only available for the people who have, you know, the first generation iPhones.
I don't buy it. I'd almost say that's 100% chance that Apple won't do that, because if I can get, I mean, not me or not you, but if the average current iPhone user can get the App Store and the new software on their new iPhone and they put it on there, even if they're on their existing iPhone, even if they're planning on selling it and buying a new one, now that they got it on their phone, they can say, this works pretty well. You know what? Maybe I don't need that 3G iPhone. I think Apple would be throwing away billions of dollars if they did it that way. They've got to do it either the opposite, to where it's available to 3G users first and then the old folks later, or on the same date. I just can't see Apple making a move like that, unless I'm just not seeing it. I think it just might be a nice thing to do for original iPhone owners, but they'd just be throwing away a ton of potential sales, I think.
Interesting. What do you think, Jeff?
I'm totally with Bill on this one. I do not see iPhone 2.0 rolling out for first-gen iPhones ahead of iPhone 3G launch. I think what we're going to see is July 11th, App Store launch, iPhone 3G comes out, and iPhone software 2.0. I think it's all going to happen on the same day.
Okay. So I was thinking that, you know, there's a possibility, but then again, Apple did say early July. So I'm going to go with you guys, especially now that you bring out your points. I'm going to agree with you. And what do you think about the launch time as far as the iPhone 3G? We had an anonymous tip come in saying that it would be 6 p.m. like it was last year on June 29th. Do you think it's going to be a 6 p.m. thing? What are the advantages and, you know, disadvantages to having a 6 p.m. over, when the store opens, there's the iPhone?
First thing that comes to my mind is that the last time around it was 6 p.m. over four time zones with a three-hour difference. This time I think it would be across about 12 time zones, which means that you'd have the iPhones launching 12 hours earlier in one part of the world than another. I don't know if they can do it where it's the same time, local time, everywhere. They may have to, you know, have it where it's the same time, Greenwich Mean Time everywhere, so that, you know, it literally the exact same minute it all goes on sale everywhere.
Right.
So that alone may mean a different launch time in every time zone.
So, you know, I'm thinking what they're going to do, and I might be totally wrong here because, well, keep in mind, I said there was not going to be a GPS in the new iPhone. I think what they're going to do is say in the United States it's a 6 p.m. launch. In Europe, it's going to be, you know, a 10 a.m. launch or whatever, so that we have this window that's much smaller for the launch, but not staggered, you know, where they have every single time zone where they have to hit 6 o'clock and it becomes this logistical nightmare. I think it's going to be like a morning and evening launch or something like that.
So you don't think that people 12 hours from us are going to get the iPhone first, or?
No, I think the United States will get it first, just because that's how things work, right or wrong. And okay, then I think everyone else is going to get it after us.
Okay. So I think it's going to be 6 p.m. starting New York time and rolling over. Is that what you kind of think?
I kind of think so, because...
So it's going to be local time still?
It's going to be local time, but I think that they're going to shift the time outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. So that it's not like we're doing this thing over, you know, what would it be? Well, it's what, 12 time zones?
Something
so that
like
it's
that.
Not as crazy as that.
Yeah. So they may just have a, you know, a specified time for, you know, blocks of time zones or something like that. But I definitely think in the US it's going to be probably 6 p.m. Just because, you know, instead of having it when the store opens, which, you know, For the sake of argument, I'm not going to say that, you know, some stores open at different times relative to the time zone. I think that, you know, they just want to get the standard customers in and out of the store that aren't iPhone customers, and then that giant flood of customers looking for the iPhone 3G coming in after all that general business has, you know, gone over. And I think last year it was 6 p.m. and then they were open, you know, for an extra hour past their normal time. I think it was going to be 6 to 10, and I think they maybe close at, you know, 9 usually, for AT&T stores, I should say. So I think that's going to be how it goes. And, you know, especially with, you know, the fact that you have to sign up in the store now with the contract. And that reminds me, what do you guys think about the, you know, unboxing stuff? This is going to be the first Apple product that we're not going to be able to unbox and enjoy and, you know, invite relatives and friends over and sip wine and, you know, listen to good music and unbox our Apple products.
You know, that's taken away a little bit of that personal touch that goes along with buying an Apple product, and takes the iPhone a little bit closer to just the same old crappy experience that AT&T gives everyone else. When I say AT&T, let me make that a broader statement, that cell phone companies give to everyone else. You know, they tear open the box, they rip all the packaging apart, they take your phone, they plug it in and do whatever their stuff is, and before you've ever had a chance to even touch it and see what you've bought, they've already gotten their fingerprints all over it.
They've maybe jammed cords in there and put scratches in it and...
Right.
Yeah.
Would it be possible for, if it does play out like you're saying, would it be possible for you to buy the iPhone and maybe they do the account thing, but then they still let you take it out still sealed in the box, and once you set it up, they kind of zap it? Like, I think some of the activation was done over the cellular network or something. I'm trying to figure out if it would be technically possible to...
Well, here's what I'm thinking as far as that goes. I don't think that Apple's going to... Or at least I'm sure they don't want this to happen. And I think that the way they could make it work as far as, you know, signing up for the contract in store and being able to, you know, take it home and unbox it, I think that you would sign up for your plan, choose your plan, sign the contract, you know, money exchange, all that. And they would, you know, punch in at some point the IMEI number that's listed on the back of the box, because that is on the box. It's not something they have to get. Then when you bring it home, you unbox it and you plug it into iTunes and it says, okay, yep, I see you're all good to go. And I think that's something that was rumored too. You know, if you go to the Apple store and they try to sign you up and you sign your contract and for some reason it doesn't activate there, supposedly you would be able to take it home and activate it through iTunes. And, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, whenever you restore your iPhone, which I'm sure you guys haven't really done too many times because I know you don't jailbreak, But when you restore your iPhone, you have to connect it back to iTunes and you know, have it verify that you have an account with AT&T, or you're going to have to set up a new account to get the phone to work again. So I don't see any technological reason why they couldn't just do that process in store, as far as, you know, signing up your account and marrying it to that phone that you bought and then being able to take it home. I, you know, hopefully that's the way that it plays out.
You know, I don't think you're right.
You don't think I'm right?
No, I think this is going to be just like every other cell phone sign up experience, where they take the phone, they plug everything in, and it's done. And then they go, here's your phone.
But what about the scenario where you're buying one and giving it to someone as a surprise gift? I mean, have you ever given someone a phone that it's already been opened up and unpackaged? And what if you're giving it to someone, you're giving it to your, like, your college son or something, and you're saying, here's your iPhone, you wanted it, but now you've got to do the contract in your name, you've got to learn responsibility. I think if they don't have a workaround, just sell your Apple stock, because this thing is going to bomb so badly. I mean, it would be, in addition to lost sales, there'll be outrage. You can't give an iPhone as a gift unless you let them unpackage it in the store, and the contract has to be in the name of the person who's buying it as a gift. This is beyond cellular stupid. This is like retarded stupid or something.
There has to
be a workaround. There just has to be. I don't have any idea what it is, whether you pay $200 extra on your credit card and you get it back when it's activated or something.
That could be something. They were talking about, you know, having a punishment or a fee that you would have to pay possibly if you don't activate your phone within 30 days or something. Obviously, when I heard that, I thought it was kind of stupid, because I'm thinking, well, you don't have the phone until you activate it anyway. So that may be something that you can do, as far as, you know, if you want to gift the phone or something like that. But, you know, I think we're just all going to have to, you know, pray to Steve Jobs that he makes it all better, and that we don't have to deal with this crap.
All right, so now, never having bought a cell phone as a gift for someone, how does that work for the rest of the world? I mean, or for the rest of, for the non-iPhone people out there, like, you decide, hey, I'm going to buy a razor for my kid or whatever. Do you walk into an AT&T store and say, hey, I want to buy the phone, and then they sell it to you and you walk out with it? Do they make you sign up for a contract then too?
You know, I think that I'm not sure. I vaguely remember that kind of happening at some point that I can remember. But I think that the way they would do that is you'd have to pay full retail for the phone, and then when it's activated, you'd get that refunded to your card. I can see that would be the only way I can see it working. Otherwise, you know, they would say, you know, congratulations, you have an AT&T phone that you have to go, you know, a little gift card, you know, from AT&T, whoop-de-doo, that says you have to go get a new phone. So I don't know. I just hope that Apple comes out with at least, I hope they meet us halfway at least on some of this stuff. At least let us unbox our precious shiny new items at home.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Because I'm planning to stream it, you know. If we can do that, I'm going to be streaming it on Ustream like I did last year. I streamed the unboxing of the iPhone, and we had some people, you know, watching that. And so if that does work out, I will be streaming it live on Ustream again this year. So you have that to look forward to if you're not getting an iPhone 3G on day one.
And you're going to get yours 2 hours before mine, apparently. So I'm going to have to watch your stream, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Save me some bandwidth.
Save you some bandwidth, I will.
I know everybody's going to be crashing that, trying to get in on your Ustream, so...
You know, I don't...
Front row seats.
I don't think there are that many people who wanted to see it last year. I think it was, you know, maybe, you know, 1/64th the amount of traffic we had, you know, for the WWDC thing. But, you know, there are some people. And Ustream can clearly handle it, as we proved on Monday. I think it was... True. I don't think... You know, I don't think we announced this... I think this was off the air when I told you guys, because it came in after the show on Monday. But we had, for those of you who were listening to the stream on Monday, we had 50,000 concurrent users listening to the stream, and that just it literally broke records for the amount of people on that kind of streaming service. So it was awesome. If you were listening, thank you so much. It rocked. We had a lot of fun doing it. We were so happy that it worked out. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, that was cool. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
And I hope to continue doing it, maybe with video. And, well, certainly we're going to do video again at Macworld and, you know, maybe at WWDC. So who knows? But I think we're going to move on to our iPhone picks. But before we do that, I see that we have a caller in TalkShoe. If you want to hop in and, rant a little bit about the iPhone 3G or tell us about, you know, some things that we missed or maybe a story that we didn't cover, queue up in the in TalkShoe. Just hit the, I think there's a button in TalkShoe that says queue or something like that or get it on the line. So when you do that, we'll know that you want to talk. So do that if you do want to talk. And we will move on to our iPhone picks. But actually, there was one other thing that someone just kind of mentioned to me as we were doing the show over AIM. Supposedly, I think this is from Gizmodo, and I'm not sure of the source, but the iPhone 3G will not allow tethering to your laptop. So like we didn't have in the first iPhone with the Edge service, we weren't able to connect over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or what have you. The data plan, the data service, I should say, to the laptop, and then use that as internet access where you don't have a Wi-Fi hotspot. Do you think that's going to be a big problem for people, or is this a big deal at all? Jeff, what do you think?
I think it's an annoyance, especially since it is something that you can do with other phones already.
Right.
And since you're going to be paying the standard data rates as opposed to the discounted data rates, why keep that feature from iPhone users?
Definitely. I completely agree. I think it's absolutely stupid for them not to allow that. You know, I understand that it's a, you know, it's not a very Apple process to get that all set up. I mean, right now you can do that with the Edge phone, you know, if you have a service installed on there for a jailbreak phone. But you do, it's a lot of work to, you know, you have to match up IPs and you have to, you know, create an ad hoc network and all this stuff. It works. It's complicated, though.
You know, what they need to do is go talk to Nova Media, because those guys totally know how to set up the phone to computer thing. I mean, like, drop dead simple. So
how does that work?
It doesn't have. Nova Media, they've made applications that you install, like on your PowerBook. Or, I'm saying PowerBook because that's what I'm stuck with tonight. On your MacBook Pro, and then it links to your cell phone, and you just go through a little drop down menu and say, yeah, that's the kind of phone I have, and here's the service I have, and here's the country I'm in, and then it goes okay, and you click a button, and you're on. And that's it. So it doesn't have to be difficult.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, they could even take it one step further and just say, hey, you have that, that USB cable that you have, just plug that in.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
That would be the simple Apple way to do it, I think.
So we've got it all sorted out and done. Great. Now someone just implement it for us, like, now.
Yes. I think with the 3G speeds, and that's one of the things that I have a friend who, you know, who heckles me for having an iPhone and says that they don't work. And the one big thing that he complains about is that you can't hook it up to your laptop and get internet wherever you go. And I think that's definitely something, especially with the iPhone 3G, that should be allowed, especially since it's on other phones. So there you go. Bill, you want to chime in on any of that?
I've never really been into that stuff, so I should provide that qualifier. But I really think that the future of laptops is to have the 3G built into them. I was really surprised the MacBook Air didn't. I suspect the next one will. And since Apple's going with AT&T, that'll be tied into some kind of AT&T data plan. Maybe you have to pay another pound of flesh each month. I really can't see tethering the iPhone to the laptop with the iPhone's battery continues to be where it's at. It hasn't improved. The people I've talked to have done it. Your battery just goes,
definitely,
within minutes. And it just seems like, yeah, I'd love to have 3G or Edge or whatever, 4G on my laptop. I can't see doing it at the expense of my iPhone. So I don't know. I'd rather just see it be kind of a separate thing. I probably won't buy another Mac laptop until they come out with one that does have a data network built into it.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Let's move on to our iPhone picks. Jeff, why don't you start?
All right. Mine will be web-based since I'm running a non-jailbroken iPhone right now.
Okay.
AP News. I've totally fallen in love with that. I'm an information junkie, so I'm checking news and Dig and everything I can get at all the time. And AP News has just a really great iPhone interface. It's totally customizable, so I can see headlines for the types of topics that I'm interested in. You know, like I can show world news and technology and business news and shut off sports and shut off just the entertainment pictures, and just have this really nice concise list. And it'll also show local news. Excuse me. So you can put in your zip code, and then it'll add in news for wherever you are, and you can create a list of zip codes. So if you travel around a lot, you can see local news for wherever you're at.
Cool. I'm checking it out right now. It's at apnews.com. It's a very neat iPhone interface. It has the five different buttons at the top that you can choose which section you're using, and it even has a little throbber in there. A little is that what they call it, a throbber, or is it the gear? I can't remember.
I don't know what they call it, but throbber sounds so, it sounds dirty.
It does. I've heard it being called the throbber. So, but yeah, you can add, it's very nice. It's very fluid and it looks like the iPhone. It's a very nice web application. So that's apnews.com on your iPhone. It will bring you to that, iPhone interface. Great pick. So, Bill, what is your iPhone pick?
I'm going with hardware this week because one of the biggest annoyances for me of being an iPhone user is that there are certain things you still have to dig out an iPod for. One of them is to wake up to your music from an iPod-specific alarm clock.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we've got this IP99 iPhone alarm clock from iHome. A couple of big caveats. It was supposed to arrive today, and I was out, so I don't have it yet. I don't know if it's worth its $150 price in terms of sound quality. I also have no idea if it'll work with the 3G iPhone. Can't answer that for another month. So with those caveats included, I'm just excited to see that we finally got an iPod alarm clock.
I think I saw that at Macworld, and they showed that to me. And the biggest problem with these current docks that are out there that are not made for the iPhone is that they're not shielded for the GSM network. So you get, all that cell phone noise, the clicks and the buzzes and the hums, the stuff that you don't want to hear when you're listening to your music. And it's really annoying. So that was, they had to shield the dock and send that off to Apple and get that approved. So, it's an iPhone made dock. And so that's why you want to, get an iPhone specific dock. So what's that dock called again? Bill?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, it's called the IP99BR, I guess is the official name of it.
Great name. from iHome, and that's how much is it?
It's $150, which usually the iHome alarm clocks are $100. So, like I said, we'll have to see if it's if there's a good reason for it being so much more expensive.
Okay, and that's iHome.com, right?
iHomeAudio.com.
Gotcha. Okay. Good pick. And I'm going to go with software, and I'm not going to do jailbreak software. I'm going to do App Store, July 11th software. And my pick...
Oh, I bet I know what you're going to pick.
Okay.
Let me guess.
All right.
You're going with OmniFocus.
I'm going with OmniFocus.
Yeah, and, no surprise there.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm extremely excited about OmniFocus. And actually, I went to... I talked to the Omni guys at Macworld, and they showed me OmniFocus because I wasn't sure if I wanted it. It's an IGTD, or not an IGTD, but GTD, getting things done application, and it's projects based task management, and there's a whole cult following for GTD and all that stuff. But basically, it's a place where you just sort of dump all of those things that you need to do. You organize them into projects, and then you break them down into individual tasks that you need to do to accomplish them. And it's based on contexts and all that kind of thing. It's very cool. Once you figure out how to do it, OmniFocus can literally change your life, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I think of, I throughout the day, I think, oh yeah, I need to do that one thing later on. And I'm just going to remember that. Well, you don't remember that, because, you get on to the point where you should have done that thing and you completely forgot about it. The idea with OmniFocus is, and the whole idea with getting things done, I should say, is that you put all of your stuff into a quote-unquote trusted system. where you can, you just dump all the stuff in your brain so it's off your mind and you just work on the task at hand. So it's a very handy thing to have, and you have this rapid access, you know, put it into the application on your Mac. So I should say that it's a Mac only application right now. And I've always wanted an iPhone version of that because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're out doing something else, when you think of this, you know, thing that you have to do. So if you have your iPhone now, when OmniFocus for the iPhone comes out, and they say that it's coming out on, you know, App Store Day, whenever that comes out, you'll be able to just immediately enter that stuff into your OmniFocus application. It syncs for over .Mac, or I should say MobileMe, or over WebDAV, or you can just use it as a standalone application. So you can sync it or use it as standalone. It's very cool. It's by OmniFocus and...
No, it's by OmniGroup.
OmniGroup, I should say. It's by OmniGroup. OmniFocus is the application. It's awesome. They haven't come up with a price yet, but you can go to OmniGroup.com, right? Is it OmniGroup.com?
OmniGroup.com.
OmniGroup.com, and I think OmniGroup.com/applications/OmniFocus/iPhone. That's where you're going to get the nice little preview page. I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's awesome. I definitely recommend it. Even if you don't have the Mac application or you're not even on a Mac, get this application as one of your applications that you get out of the door with the App Store, because this is the to-do app, I think. OmniFocus rocks.
You know, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that the people at OmniGroup totally get how to code for the Mac and, by extension, the iPhone, because they were coding for Mac OS X back when it was actually still Next Step.
Oh, really?
You know, Steve Jobs, yeah. They started coding for, what was it called back then? OpenStep, the OS that was on the Next computer. Steve Jobs' other company.
Very
cool. Yeah, so when that OS became the foundation for Mac OS X, well, it was an easy transition for them because they were already coding for this platform.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, check it out. If you need a to-do application, a grocery list, just manage your entire life, OmniFocus rocks, definitely. And actually, if you know who Merlin Mann is, he actually consulted with OmniGroup on OmniFocus. So it's got a little bit of Merlin Mann in there. He helped out with it. So that's really cool. And I'll put a link in the show notes for that. So that just wraps it up for us. Once again, we have Bill Palmer from iProng Magazine and iProng.com. And at Twitter, it's twitter.com/BillPalmer. So thanks again for coming on the show. It's always great having you, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me, as always. I'll learn how to speak someday.
Yeah. And you can find Jeff Gamet on the Mac Observer at macobserver.com every weekday, and on Twitter at twitter.com/jgamet. It's J-G-A-M-E-T. And it's always excellent having you on, Jeff.
It's always a blast, even when I have to fall back to the PowerBook.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll get that resolved quickly. Did your other shows work out pretty well once you got that fixed?
Nope. And actually, the other recordings I was supposed to do today, I have to do tomorrow because I never got it fixed, so it worked good enough.
Ah.
Which ultimately is why I had to fall back to the PowerBook for this.
Well, at least you have the PowerBook.
That's true. It's always been a good workhorse, and it's been a little trooper today.
Great. So, once again, thanks to the guys from 2008. It's 20, TWENTY08.com. Those guys are doing mobile chat for the iPhone. So, it's probably going to be pretty well priced. And, they took off the call a little bit ago, but, definitely check them out. It's, at their website, and, I look forward to their application because I love me some AIM. And, of course, our bandwidth is provided by CashFly at cashfly.com. And you can check out all the latest and greatest news, tips, and reviews every single day at iPhoneAlley.com. And you can grab show notes for this show at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. Those will probably be up tomorrow, Sunday sometime. So if you didn't get that long link for OmniFocus, although you can just, you know, find it in the App Store when it comes out, you can check that application out, or, you know, you can see the link for that application, I should say, at our show notes. So that's iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything else like that, send us an email at podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And we're still looking for a theme song. We've had a couple submissions from you guys. I should mention what we're kind of looking for. I'm looking for something a little less techno and a little more rock and roll. So that's what you have to go on. See, I don't know what I want, but when I get it, it'll be awesome. But I know I want something a little rocky. So that's that.
Like dun 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 dun, like that kind of rocky.
Sadly, the same joke came into my head.
Yeah. Okay, and leave us some iTunes reviews on iTunes. We love those as always, and it helps people figure out if they should listen to the podcast. So just say, you know, in the review, just say yes, listen to this podcast, and give us 5 stars. Or you can write a lengthy review. We like both. And subscribe definitely in iTunes. And I think that we're going to have a contest for the in the forums. This isn't finalized. If it is finalized, you'll see a post tomorrow. But I'm thinking that we're going to be giving away an iPhone 3G. After a contest on the website, it'll have to do with the forums. And the way we're looking at it is every post you make in the forums over the course of, I think it's going to be 30 days, that counts as an entry into the contest. So basically we'll, turn the magical, basket full of names, and, more entries you have, the more chance you have to win. And we will have a runner-up prize of a case as well. So that's not official, but it probably will be tomorrow when we make the post. So check it out, iPhoneAlley.com. Look for the post. And if you haven't already registered at our forums, do that at iPhoneAlley.com/forums. And I think that's it. Another episode of the iPhone Alley podcast is out the door.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?
I kind of wish we had a stylus.
We're going to use a stylus.
You know, just
you do. It's right on the end of your hand.
No.
See, I'm thinking like... Like a stick with a finger at the end of it.
You know what's funny is now that I've started using my iPhone, like when I go into CVS and I swipe my card, I can never pick up that stylus and use it because my finger is bad, even though they look at me like I'm a moron.
Yeah.
I can't touch it. Ever since I heard Steve Jobs go, yuck, I can't touch it.
Yuck. No.
Maybe there's
some
market for hobos that don't eat their fingertips.
Heard, and I liked it.